everybody's giggling. I screwed up the recording, but that's okay. We're back, and we're awesome. We're glad we could be with you. We've been gone for the last 2 weeks. We have come through some very cold weather, a lot of storms, and in the case of Amber, like I said previously before I screwed up the recording, is that her roof, is it still intact?
I've got a tarp.
You have a
keeping
tarp.
Keeping it in place.
A tarp. You were saying something about Liberty Mutual? About your insurance company? We need to call them?
So yeah. if you want Amber to have floors, walls, and ceilings, mm-hmm. and a real roof,
right?
Ask Liberty Mutual for Amber.
Is this an official announcement? Like you're doing a Kickstarter?
This episode is sponsored by...
To get your house?
This is a Kickstarter
Amber's roof. Kickstarter for Amber's roof.
Nice.
AmberOnTheRoof.com. Good Lord.
And my house was built in 2010.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
What? Are you serious?
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
What the heck? Is it like listen, this is not, I'm not trying to be prejudiced or racial or anything. Is this one of those Japanese roofs in the whole...
No. It's an American tile
roof.
This is a Maui made house.
Really?
I did construction project management on the mainland.
2010?
Was there acid rain in your neighborhood or...
I live in Wailuku.
Oh, wow.
Near the county building.
Oh.
That's why.
That's probably why. Yeah. Frickin' unions. Anyway. Anyway, I did see, though, that you had an opportunity to watch a couple of things on your Netflix, because you're a Netflix chick.
Ta-da!
Yeah, you did. You did. And you watched Despicable Me 2 more times than you'd like to admit.
Ta-da!
Yeah, there you go. So, I'm glad you brought that up. I haven't seen it yet. I don't know. Should I watch it? Is it good?
I'm on my nth time.
Oh, good, good. So we're at a time where you can't even count them on your fingers anymore, is what you're saying.
Ta-da!
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Anything to shut the kids up, I guess this will do, and she'll watch it over and over again. Format, what about you, sir? How have you been? What you been up to this last couple of weeks you haven't been on?
Not much. Roof is intact.
Good, thank God. God, thank God, that's good. So
not much. The PS3 crapped out, so I had to fish the Wii out of storage.
Oh, crap.
Got that connected. It's interesting watching Netflix without HD. That's...
Psycho, right? Psycho.
It's a completely different world.
Wow.
You should try Amazon Prime.
Oh, I don't even want to
you know
dare.
What? I don't know why. You know what you should do, because you have
try
a phone.
Try Bosch.
Bosch
is
a great
series.
Show.
On Amazon.
That's what I keep hearing.
I recently gave a shout out.
You did. She did. On the NerdWatch Facebook
right.
page, she did. So listen, what you need to do is if you can spare $30, get yourself a Chromecast. I think you'll be appreciated because you can put Netflix on your phone and you'll watch everything in HD.
Mm.
And it'll Chromecast it right from your phone to there. And it doesn't even waste the battery of the phone. It's really cool. I never even thought about it, so it's freaking awesome.
Is it like watching TV before the digital switch?
Yes.
Awesome.
So you get all the grainy pixelations and, it's
like real television.
Hey,
yes.
Listen.
It's like a flip phone.
Right.
Right, exactly. Like a flip phone.
There's nothing
but
like
a phone.
There's nothing like watching the Avengers in astounding standard definition.
I know, right? Ooh, 480i.
Yeah, 480i.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Man, we've come so far since those times. How about you, Professor Barry? What have you been up to?
Things are good. My roof is intact.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Been happy Bates Motel is back, so I'm so happy. My favorite show is back on TV.
Yes, Bates Motel is back on television. I have to catch up with that because they say it's getting even more crazy.
Yeah, it's off to a great start.
Fantastic. You really love that show.
Oh, big time.
You're a big Bates Motel and Hannibal fan.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and Hannibal should be coming back this summer, too,
which
is kind of
cool.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about that. Any movies on the agenda this past couple of weeks? Anything... You've seen
some stuff? I've seen some stuff.
All right, well, let's get into that in a minute. Let me tell you what I did.
Okay.
Well, this last couple of weeks, I
How's
dealt
your
with...
roof?
My roof, well, listen, my roof is great. It's wonderful. It's been done. It's been...
You want to lend it to me?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. We don't have any issues concerning our roof. With our water main, once in a while, but we've already fixed that, so it's good, so we didn't have to deal with anything. So we're good now.
Did you have Liberty Mutual?
No Liberty. No. That's why we weren't union contracted on our water main either. So that's awesome. But anyway, I got a chance to watch a couple of movies. I think the last one I did, I sent you a review for. I watched Exodus, Gods and Kings.
Yeah.
Boy, that was a waste. And I'll let you know more when you read my review.
Okay.
So, definitely underwhelming. I wasn't impressed at all. Not much at all by it. So, but yeah, other than that, just been watching, I don't know what's weird. It's because for as much as I love movies, I have been watching more and more television. It's like I like watching stuff in 45-minute increments.
Yeah.
You know, but then I'll watch another one. And then it's already like watching a movie. It's weird. I keep finding myself watching more serialized television. And I'll watch more than one episode. So, yeah, I've been watching a lot of, like you said, I've taken a look at Bosch. Bosch is really cool. yeah, Michael Connelly is the writer of the Bosch series. He's the one that did Harry Bosch. He also is the guy who did. He also wrote the book for Blood Work, the one with Clint Eastwood.
That's why I know the name.
Michael Connelly. Okay. He's a great writer. He wrote a book called Devil's Moon, which is awesome. So he's a great writer, and Bosch was really cool. I've been just catching up on a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't even tell anybody. I don't know if anybody ever watches it, but I actually binge watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine season 1 and 2.
It's a fun show.
It is hilarious. Yeah. I did not think I'd like it because I wasn't a big fan of Andy Samberg, but he's very good at it.
Terry Crews is on that show.
And he's super charming. And I like, and Terry Crews is very funny.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, I recommend it wholeheartedly. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a lot of fun. I was very surprised. It's fun because he's not irritating or annoying. He's got a charm to him, which is very cool. So I really like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And Terry Crews, like you said, is in it. I got to listen to a podcast with him in, and he's very cool. He seems to be a guy that loves the fact that he likes to go out and make things. Like, he used to be an NFL football player, a former. And then he said when he wasn't picked up for a team, per se, right? So in order for him to make money, because he wasn't making any cash if he doesn't get picked up by a team, guess what he would do? He would paint pictures of the guys who stayed on. And he'd charge like $5,000 a picture. And this guy could actually
do portraits.
Yeah. Wow. He was an artist. You know, so I listened to that. It was a really cool podcast. He was talking about how, you know, everybody whines about everybody wants their piece of the pie. He says, which I thought was kind of cool, and that's why I kind of dug him a lot. He said, why is everybody so worried about having their piece of the pie? Why don't you just go out and make one? There's flour, there's sugar, there's all kinds of stuff. Why don't you just go make your own? I thought that was a very cool, kind of inspiring little thing for Terry Crews. I didn't know he was so well-versed. It was kind of fun. A big brute of a guy being as cool as he is. So
$5,000 for a portrait, that's a rip-off. You take a picture, and then you develop it at Costco for like $50.
But you have Cruise original.
He paints it.
And he signs the bottom of it. You go, that's
you can have
Cruise.
Costco print it on a canvas. And then you go out and you buy some acrylic paint for like $10. And then you add it. And it's called a G-Clay.
Well, okay. Can I tell you this?
Yep.
Let me clarify. They're not the brightest guys in the NFL.
Oh.
So when Terry Crews,
but they have a lot of money,
right?
There it is,
right? So when a guy like Terry Crews comes up and say, "Hey man, here's some work that I do. You want me to do a portrait of yourself and only cost you $5,000?" They're like, "Sign me up, brother!" And then boom,
pocket change.
That's what I'm saying. It's pocket change
for
these guys.
Do you really want a painting of yourself
by Terry Crews? Yeah, I'd be like, "Hey, you guys seen White Chicks? Remember that guy? He did
that's
that.
Right.
The guy from Expendables. That's the
that's
guy who painted
the guy.
Me
that's
holding
the guy.
A fish.
Holding
yes.
a fish.
Really?
I don't want to, yeah,
I'm totally I'm right. asking because I'm not a guy who would want a portrait of himself painted.
No, you know what it is? It's the oxymoron of the fact how ridiculously. You would never think of a guy as ridiculously big as Terry Crews to be such an artist. So looking at his artwork, you would never think that. You can actually look up, I think you can actually Google some of his artwork.
No, it has nothing to do with his size. It's like, as a person, like, what kind of an ego do you need to have to want your...
They're football players.
Thank you! Thank you!
Exactly. It's nothing but eagle.
They want their face on a card.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
You would have to assume in sports that there has to be an amount. You'd have to have a modicum amount of an ego in order to, you know. So of course these guys want pictures of themselves. I would want a bust made of myself to put on my mantle.
Bust?
I'm not scared of that. I would like a bust of myself. That's fine. I'm down with that.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
I'd get a billboard.
Just a billboard. But anyway, listen. I digress. Professor Barry,
I want a bust of myself, and I want to put it on the hood of my car like an ornament.
Like a Rolls Royce?
You want to take off that BMW badge or that Mercedes badge and just throw your bust
on
my
bust.
There.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Like that. Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I want.
Wow. Mm. Well, Professor Barry, you can do that because you are the Rotten Tomatoes critic. So you have that, you do have that differentiation.
Those are the perks? Sweet. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll get on.
So,
no one told me.
You know, so you have that cred. You can do that.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, before we get into some movie reviews, let's get into something a little more somber. In the last couple of weeks, we have had to deal with losing one of our sci-fi heroes in Leonard Nimoy. We haven't had a chance to talk about it, so yeah. I thought I'd go around the room, the four of us, and kind of talk about what their thoughts were on Mr. Leonard Nimoy's passing. So should I start, or should you start, Format, and then we'll move around?
No, you can go ahead and start. Yeah.
Okay, let me start. Well, for me, when I heard that he... when he passed, I wasn't shocked because I had known that he was suffering from, I guess, a degenerative, I guess it was a disease, a heart disease, I'm assuming, or I forget
something
the
like
name
that.
What,
yeah.
it was.
What it was.
But anyway, I knew he was ailing, so I wasn't surprised. But for me, the thing was is that when he did pass, one of the things that I had written on the, one of the memoriam that I ended up, the short, very short memoriam that I wrote on Nerdwatch was, you know, everybody knows live long and prosper, but no one ever knows the answer to that. The answer to that has always been peace and long life. And for a guy like Leonard Nimoy, he certainly got both when he was on this earth. And one of the things is that everybody knows him from Star Trek and all this other stuff. My experience with him was with Star Trek and Spock and all this other stuff. And of course, that was a big influence on me, and I love Star Trek because of it, and I love him because of his role as Spock. But I will say that I've known him from doing roles in Twilight Zone, The Outer Limits. He's been in The Outer Limits. Some of my favorite episodes was with him in it. And one thing that no one ever talks about, which I think is very cool, one of the things that really, really he stood out for me was he would do a documentary series. His documentary series that he did, he narrated In Search Of. Everybody remember that? That was the thing. That was the one where he did about the pyramids in Egypt, or the UFOs, or you know, he would do those really mysterious
National Geographic.
Right, right. But these are more along the lines of what we get now, as opposed, you know, the ghost adventures or like, you know, those things. But that was way before his time. So he would narrate those, and I remember his voice from those In Search Of documentaries that I used to watch when I was like, what, 10, 11, 12? They were so interesting and so fun, and he made it so fascinating to watch even as a youngster and to get really interested. So losing someone as he's an actor. You know, losing someone as a wonderful actor as he is, but also a very good director as well. I think a lot of people forget the fact that he's the guy who's responsible for The Good Mother. He's also responsible for what everybody knows already, Three Men and a Baby. He's responsible for that. He did the movie with Gene Wilder, Funny About Love. So he's got his credentials and the things that I've looked for him doing. And at the end of his life, ironically enough, he was obsessed with taking photographs of fat, naked women. He had a book about it. I didn't get into that part, but...
Was it published, or was this like
a... It was published.
Secret book that they
found. No, it was actually published.
Okay.
So, I'm not judging.
Neither am I, man.
Listen, this is a judge-free zone. Listen, if that's what you want, Mr. Nimoy, no problem. It's, you know, hey, but in all honesty, it was real sad to lose him. I really, I thought he was going to be used for the new Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
So now they're going to have to change plans and things of that nature. So unfortunately, it is kind of sad. But for all the memories we have of him from acting and directing in Star Trek III and Star Trek IV, which is one of the best Star Treks ever, I think his memory and his life will live long after he has. So farewell to Mr. Nimoy, and I certainly do respect and appreciate his work. What about you, Amber?
We're going this way?
We're going this way. We're going counterclockwise. I'm sorry.
Throw me off. My first introduction to Leonard Nimoy was on National Geographic. He was always the voice that I would listen to as I'm watching animals and stuff.
Right.
As a kid. Like, that's what I was introduced to. And then I saw Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's the voice. So to me, he was not Spock. To me, he was the information guy. And I love National Geographic. Like, I always wanted to subscribe to the magazine and get all the info and the stuff.
Wow, I didn't realize that he was doing any of the National Geographic
his
stuff.
His voice, like, really, was in a lot of things. I don't know if he worked for them directly, but they used
the voiceovers.
Yeah, and that's what I knew him for. And wow. Then I was introduced to him more like in my teens with Star Trek.
Right.
So
crazy.
So for me, it was different than most people. And then it was always. Spock is kind of a weird dude. And then I spent my whole adult life. Spock is a weird dude, wow. But I like Captain Kirk.
And wow!
And then I was like, you know, I can see why Spock had a problem with Captain Kirk. And I'm like, Spock is still a weird dude. But you know what? I didn't realize how many people he touched, regardless of whether or not they were Trekkies or into sci-fi or into those type of TV shows, when people started, like, posting happy memories, positive feelings.
Sure.
Because he really did touch a lot of lives. He did a lot of good. And it was very heartwarming and touching, because it's a nice change to see that publicly than people talking so much about wars and terrorism and all this other bad stuff, bullying. It was nice to see people come together and share memories and fond memories of an individual.
Right. We always forget that this is a little Jewish boy that came over from Europe. So we know
he's Jewish?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, does that change your opinion about him or something? Man, you say that with such, like, he's what?
No, I have a soft spot for little Jewish
boys. All right, she likes the little Jewish boy. Sweet. So, Professor Berry, what say you? What about you? How did you take this?
I was really affected. He was certainly, when I was taking up theater, he was a hero of mine, because he did the London production of Equus, one of my favorite pieces of theater.
Mm.
The first time I ever encountered him, oddly enough, wasn't Star Trek. It was Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Right.
The really creepy remake. And his performance in that always haunted me. For reasons I probably shouldn't even give away.
That was the one from 1956,
70-something.
Oh, no, the 1970, Donald Sutherland.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, he's in that. It's a very unsettling turn. I love him in that. I'll just say quickly, in addition to just always being kind of blown away by his versatility and his warmth, he came to the Denver Starfest sci-fi convention a couple years back, and I had the privilege to talk to him for just a moment. He was getting inundated with all these questions. Like, Mr. Nimoy, in season 2, episode 4, it was like those kind of, and he was just getting inundated with these questions. Just you know, and I was kind of watching this like, oh, poor guy. You know, like, he's trying to keep up with these questions, you know, that are like 30, 40 years old now. So I finally had a moment to go up to him and talk to him. All I did was I shook his hands and I said, Mr. Nimoy, I just wanted to thank you for 3 Men and a Baby. And he smiled and laughed and he said, thank you. And that was it.
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah, and I was happy to give him probably the one non-Trek question of the day. But I agree with you. His directing was excellent. Like, I mean, people forget that he directed the top-grossing film of 1987. It's a great comedy.
It is.
He directed The Good Mother. Thank you for bringing up Funny About Love. The one of his I never saw, he did one with Patricia Arquette called Holy Matrimony.
Yes, he did.
Is that any good? I've never seen it either. Yeah, I have no idea. But the fact that he did all that, he was a triple threat, he was a great writer. I was very affected by his passing, and I'm sure the sci-fi world feels the same way.
Absolutely. And Format, what about you, sir?
For me, Leonard Nimoy wasn't like a... I wasn't expecting his passing to hit me so hard. Because, you know, I didn't know the guy.
Sure,
never met him. And the only things that I knew him from were from Star Trek, of course.
Sure.
And the Transformers animated series.
Yes, yes.
He voiced Galvatron in the animated series. And then later on in the Michael Bay movies, boo Michael Bay, he did the voice of Sentinel Prime.
Right.
So it was kind of like a full circle as far as him doing voiceovers for the Transformer universe.
For sure.
So for me, I wasn't expecting to be hit as hard as I was. But, oh, man. Like, that day that I found out he passed, you know, it didn't really take effect. And then the very next day, I was down in tears. I didn't know why or, you know, what was the reason behind it. Sure. All I knew is that this guy, like, affected so much for so many.
Yeah.
And now he's gone. So I think it was kind of like a... like feeling the void, you know, in the world, open up, similar, you know, to go into a different thing, you know, the whole force thing about feeling the lives of a million people extinguished
right,
in one instant.
Right, right.
So
for me,
that's pretty much what it was.
Wow.
I mean, I'm getting kind of emotional just talking about it now, but it's
So from Star Trek to Transformers to he's impacted your life quite a bit, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, as far as like nerddom goes, I would say so. Even though he's only done like a few roles when it comes to like sci-fi-ish things, it's such an impact.
Absolutely. And listen, when a guy like Leonard Nimoy has an impact on a generation of people, and still has the Bilbo Baggins song under his under his helmet, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a great song, by the way. So in closing, and to end this little segment about Leonard Nimoy, sir, you have and always will be our friend. And we certainly appreciate everything that you have done to impact our lives when it comes to Star Trek, to directing, to filmmaking, as a matter of fact. So we certainly do appreciate that. And you, sir, shall be missed, for sure. Anywho... Professor Barry, moving on to some bigger things. Leonard Nimoy would probably want to talk about this as well. What's going on in the latest in films? Anything exciting you would like to broach and tell us about this week? What were your cinema adventures?
Well, the one that was
cinematic adventures.
Well, you know, the one that was a surprise, and I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, because when Kenneth Branagh is at the helm of something, you could pretty much depend on that guy to deliver,
right?
For the most part, and Cinderella is a special film, and it has everything to do with him.
What? Okay.
Did I hear that right?
Cinderella.
Cinderella.
Did you say Cinderella?
Yes.
The musical.
It's not a musical.
Okay, so wait a minute.
Okay,
was this the movie that we saw the previews for that I said this list looks terrible?
Terrible. Yeah.
And
terrible.
It did, didn't it? It looked terrible.
Yeah, the trailers are terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But the movie is actually...
it's very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
I saw that. We all saw the trailer, and we talked about it on the Nerd Podcast, and it was not a good trailer at all.
Did you see it?
I didn't see the movie.
Okay. So I'm in complete shock.
I am too, because all I ever saw was that teaser thing with the slipper spinning, and I'm like, this is stupid.
It was completely corny.
I saw the one where riding through the woods, and she runs into her future Prince Charming, and I'm like, really, dude?
Right. And where Kate Blanchett is spinning the glass shoe in her hand, I was like, oh my, what is going on here? All right, Professor Barry, please enlighten us on why Cinderella is so good.
You remember that, maybe you don't, and maybe it's good if you don't, that awful Julia Roberts film a few years ago, Mirror, Mirror?
I do.
The trailer made it look like that movie, and it's not. Branagh, what he's done here, he's done the same thing that he did, oddly enough, with Frankenstein and with Henry V and with Hamlet. He's simply retelling this story in a way that's very respectable. He's got some of the best actors. Derek Jacobi is in this.
I love Derek Jacobi. He's awesome for Claudius.
Yeah, and he's terrific in this. Yeah. I mean, excellent performance. And Cate Blanchett, despite the way the trailer looks, it's a great performance. She's riveting.
Really?
It's a really great performance. And Lily James, who I was not familiar with, she is in Downton Abbey. She's a superb Cinderella. And I know it sounds odd to even word it that way, but this is, it's an acting film. It's a visually beautiful movie. It makes the story very grand and respectful. It's not a corny film, although it does have these really cute moments with the mice. The mice, although they don't actually talk, they're just CGI, and they're right. You know, they're very lifelike. But all that to say, like, everything that they could have done here, there's no musical numbers, there's no fart jokes, there's no scenes that, like, are pandering to the lowest common denominator. It's a really smart movie, and I wasn't expecting that at all.
I think the lead that really – I think you buried the lead in the fact that you said there's acting in a Disney movie. I had no clue. I had no clue because this is the company that brings me CGI'd hamsters in hamster balls – as action heroes, right?
Well, I like G-Force, but yeah,
I do too. No, I do too. I love G-Force. I think it's hilarious. It's a great 2.5-star movie. It's super fun.
It's a very well, good way of putting it.
Right. Yeah. So okay. So, do they take any U-turns with the story? Are they sticking traditionally to what Disney story is? How does it work? What's the deal?
That was the only thing about it that I found interesting and somewhat limiting. Because what I loved, one of the many things I loved, as you know, about Maleficent is that they took so many liberties with the story, and it became a very new film. With Cinderella, they changed the ending slightly in a way that they actually give Cate Blanchett more of a character arc, more to do, really, and the character makes more sense with what they're doing here. So she's not just, it's not just a one note bit of villainy. There's actual depth, and there's actual, you actually kind of understand why she is the way she is. So you, there's sympathy there, but there's also a good deal of darkness. So the film, it's a little bit different from the animated film, but not only is it so similar, but it's such a tightly edited film. It's a little under 2 hours, and it moves. I mean, it's a really tight film. I don't feel... there was only one scene I could think of where I thought, they didn't really need that. I mean, the movie never stops moving. It's never a drag, and I'd be happy to see it again.
Okay.
Wow.
So are you recommending that everyone at this table see Cinderella?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, again, it's Kenneth Branagh. He made a good film. It doesn't always work out. He did a version of, what was it, Love's Labor's Lost, which was a really bad film.
I thought the musical numbers were kind of fun, but other than that.
Yeah, other than that. Peter's Friends wasn't one of his better films, but this is actually one of his best films. I really would say that. And I'm as surprised as anybody, but it's a solid film.
Wow. All right. Kenneth Branagh's the guy who gave us Thor as well, the very first Thor.
And Dead Again, one of the great, and great Dead films Again of the 90s.
With his ex-wife, Emma Thompson.
Yep.
I love Dead Again, and I love Thor. And I also like the other film he does, Hamlet, his long Hamlet. It's a little pretentious.
It's a terrific film, though.
But it's a great film, though. I mean, it becomes a little long in the tooth, but yeah. All right, so we know Kenneth Branagh. Well, we seem to forget this is the guy that actually he directed Keanu Reeves and Michael Keaton in Much Ado About Nothing. So
yeah.
I guess that says something. Where are we putting Cinderella on your list? How many glass slippers
on a scale of 1 to 5?
Right.
I'll give it 4.
Four glass slippers.
Four glass slippers. Yeah, it's a solid film.
Wow.
Like I said, there's literally one scene in the film where Cinderella is in the town and she's talking to this town girl and it's like her one friend, but the character has no other scenes. The character is never mentioned. It's the one scene in the movie I thought they don't need this moment. They're clearly, they just need this. They need her to talk to somebody so we have a sense of, you know, exposition. Otherwise, I mean, it's about perfect.
Are we gonna? Wow,
it really is.
Are we? I'm not gonna miss singing mice.
No,
Cinderella.
You don't need it.
So would that replace a monologue then for her to talk to this one friend?
Yeah, like a monologue or just something to push the story along. I mean, the whole thing, it's been narrated by the fairy godmother.
Okay.
And it's actually a good performance by Helena Bonham Carter, who's not just repeating her Tim Burton whimsy. She's actually giving a real performance here, and it's really it's nice to see that. Because after like, you know, God, what was it, The Lone Ranger and so many of these films, I feel like she's been kind of repeating herself. And
well,
she's
Dark
not.
Shadows.
And Dark Shadows, yeah, and she's not in this movie.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Right. No, she did, I will say this, though, she did a great job in King's Speech, though.
Yes, she was great.
Yeah, she's very good in that.
Yeah, she's a terrific actress. She needs to do more of this kind of stuff, character stuff, and not just doing the Johnny Depp sidekick
thing. Yeah. See, stop working with your husband.
can't believe I'm saying this, but I really want to watch Cinderella.
Wow! Wow, that's amazing.
It makes it sound so good.
It's a good movie. It's
really good. Shocked.
And the CGI is beautiful. Like, really? Absolutely, I mean, beautiful. Like, it's not an effects-heavy movie, but when they find the moments to utilize the CGI, I mean, I was like, wow, that's really well done.
Huh. So is this better than Maleficent?
No, because, again, the story, I mean, you know, other than a little twist at the very end, you know the story. Mm-hmm. So there's no surprises in that sense.
Wow.
That's what's limiting it to
it. So the twist at the end, instead of a Prince Charming, there's a Princess Charming?
No.
What's the deal?
No, no.
Okay. Just checking.
It's not that progressive.
Just checking. All right.
Still Disney after all.
It's still Disney after all. All right. So, Four
glass slippers.
That's something you... So,
wow.
That's two pairs.
I have to say. Leave it to you to do the math. Leave it to her to give us the math on that. Okay. So, now, with Cinderella in theaters now, it's one of those things where is this, because of the way you're describing it, this is my last question about Cinderella, is the way you describe it doesn't make it seem like it's a movie for kids.
It is.
It's
a children's film, but I think adults would be really pleasantly surprised. Yeah, they won't feel like they've wasted their time. Wow. It's solid all around, I think.
I cannot believe this. I'm in total shock.
I was too, man. I was ready for something brutal, and this is refreshing film.
Fairy Godmother cast a spell on you,
guess
apparently.
So.
Wow.
And she looked like Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh, that's always a plus.
I like her.
I do
She's
too.
Great. Remember Fight Club? How amazing she was in that?
I mean, even in her, you know, I just love how crazy and wild she looks. I just like her.
I think my favorite.
I want to look like her.
My favorite performance is her. My favorite performance for Helena Bonham Carter is in Sweeney Todd. I think she's
awesome.
Oh yeah,
that's a great performance.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Amazing in that.
And she was amazing in Planet of the Apes. Not an amazing movie, but she's great in that.
She is. She can act under that under all that prosthetics.
Thick, yep.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. All right. So you saw that. So it's recommended. I don't know if I can bring myself to go to watch this in the theater, but
I'm going.
All right.
Make sure you go by yourself.
I know. Make sure you right. Whatever you do, make that creepy old guy go in with a bunch of 8-year-old kids. Right. Go watch this movie. Anyway, what else did you see?
The new Liam Neeson film, Run All Night.
Oh, that was the one, Ed Harris.
Yep.
And it's directed by
that one guy.
Isn't it?
Jaume Collet-Serrat.
Yeah, Jaume Collet-Serrat. That's the guy that did Unknown and Nonstop. Okay, so wasn't very impressed with Nonstop. I mean, for what it was. What is it about Up All Night? I keep hearing, Run All Night. That was the Cinemax movie I was watching the other night. Yeah, yeah. Run All Night. We kind of get the premise of the story in the trailer about the guy, Ed Harris, kills Liam Neeson's son.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. I'm gonna take you out or your whatever. Is it good?
No.
It's not.
No. It wants to be like a Sidney Lumet crime thriller. It wants to be something like Prince of the City. And it's not suspenseful enough. Liam Neeson, unfortunately, is miscast. He's supposed to play this dopey, pathetic, alcoholic loser. And you never for a second believe that this guy can't deliver, that he can't protect his son, that he can't murder everyone in New York, which he basically does. It's that kind of a movie. You know, it's interesting that it's from the guy who did Unknown and Nonstop. I'd say it's not as fun and trashy as Nonstop. It's more like Unknown. It's very polished. It's a well-made movie, but it's really forgettable.
It sounds very Death Wish-y.
Yes, although I prefer Death Wish, to be honest.
I do too. I love Death Wish. So so that's kind of a short review. Is this in comparison to Unknown and to Taken? Is it or any?
It's better than both of the Taken movies because it does it. You know, again, it wants to be that kind of a crime
movie. All three of them.
It's better than the sequels.
Okay,
better than the sequels. Because it wants to be that movie about, you know, about the sins of the father. It wants to be like one of those deep crime films about how, you know, crime and you know, how this kind of life poisons your soul.
Right.
Common is very good in the film. He plays a hitman. But yeah, it's the action isn't that good. It's been edited to death. That's one of the problems. The action is really well staged, but the camera and the editing are constantly undermining it. You could have a seizure watching this movie.
Did you say Common's in it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought I heard Nani. Is that right? Lei Nani? Isn't that his name? You know what you said last time?
No.
No.
What is
Common?
It?
No, it's Lonnie Lin.
Lonnie Lin.
Oh,
That's right. From this moment on the Nerd Watch, if Common's ever in a movie, he's Lonnie Lynn. He gets the starring role as Jon Stewart in the new Green Lantern film, he will be Lonnie Lynn on our top billing. All right? Gotta be it. Anyway, last but not least, the only one that I want to know about because I am very interested. I don't know about you, Amber. I like robots. I love Short Circuit 2. I love Terminator. I like robot movies. I love the Daleks in Doctor Who. How was Chappie, the new Neil Blomkamp film? The man who is taking the helm of a new Alien movie.
Yeah.
What is with Chappie?
Well, if you've seen Short Circuit 2, you've seen a lot of this movie because Chappie is like an extension of the Los Locos scene.
Oh.
Really?
Oh, my God. That's a great line in that show. Don't they have that little, what is it?
Los Locos kick your ass.
Los Locos kick your face. Yes. Shut up. Are you serious?
I'm completely serious. The robot is under bat. You know, he's an innocent robot. As it's constantly referred to, like he has I have consciousness. You know, because they all have those South African accents. So Chappie gains consciousness. He gets in with a bad crowd, with a bad gang, and they basically make him a gangster robot.
So he.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
And he's wearing gold chains and bling. He's learning gangster slang and gangster posturing. And unfortunately, it plays like it sounds.
Okay, so wait a minute. So he becomes...
Yep.
Instead of... Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So what you're saying is he's the reverse Borg. Instead of assimilating, he's being assimilated.
Right.
Interesting. Does it work?
No. It's too on the nose to be social satire. Because on the one hand, yes, obviously, the way it works with any city... If any innocent finds himself in with a gang, it is about, you know, their innocence being poisoned, about being in the wrong crowd. But the fact that it's this robot with a South African accent who's been given bling, who's being taught how to shoot a gat, who's taught how to do, you know, how to rob people from their cars. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Maybe it's to show that the power of the gang mentality, maybe. I don't know. I mean... It could. Is he trying to make some political commentary on this?
I think the intentions are good. I think he's trying to make social commentary about how young, innocent people are lured into gangs, about how why gang culture has such a lure on us. But no, it's the imagery is nothing new. And most importantly, the character of Chappie does not endear at all.
Really?
Towards the end of the movie, I was ready for him to fall into a recycling bin.
Wow. So there's nothing about him that you really appreciate.
No. He's endearing at first. There are two sequences that mirror each other in really intriguing ways. There's a scene where Chappie encounters a dog for the first time. It's a really beautiful scene about these two innocents kind of encountering each other. And there's a scene towards the end of the film where Chappie sees a dead dog. And he's kind of learning about, you know, about the flip side of that. And they're very affecting moments, and they have like kind of like a – it's almost like Frankenstein in that respect, you know, Frankenstein learning about the world. The movie has moments in it that work, that show kind of what Neil Blomkamp had in mind. I think he wanted to make something that was really meaningful and certainly has a more universal pull than some of the more political messages of District 9 and Elysium. I think he's trying to go for something that's more universal, a more universal problem, which is great. But it just, I don't think it works. It really doesn't. It doesn't help that the human cast isn't very good in here. I like Dev Patel, but his performance, to say the least, he needs to switch to decaf. He is, it really just pushes way too hard in this movie.
Right.
And
Sigourney, he's from Dev Patel is from Slumdog Millionaire. Right?
Yeah, he's a good actor, but in this film, I didn't believe a word out of his mouth.
Short Circuit 2, Indian guy.
Right, that was Short Circuit 2. That's
That was Fisher Stevens. That was a white guy pretending to be Indian.
And he had that ridiculously great accent.
It was a very good accent.
All right, so here's a question.
My
for
name
you.
Is B-N. I spell it Ben.
I spell it Ben.
So he made a better Indian than the Indian guy?
Wow. Well, now that's some great acting. If that's great acting.
Fisher all right. Stevens.
The only thing I want to know about, Fisher Stevens directed the stand-up guys with Al Pacino and Christopher Walken and Al Arkin.
Yeah. I like them.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a question. How was Hugh Jackman's toupees acting?
I'd say it's up there with Kevin Costner and The Bodyguard for one of the worst movie haircuts I've ever seen. It's distracting, and it doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know why everybody in this movie has an awful haircut. I mean, the movie only takes place like 2 years in the future, and everybody has like these blind supercuts, awful disaster, nightmare, spendu. Yeah, Flock of Seagulls.
Didn't Hugh Jackman do another robot movie where he's like a boxer?
Real Steel.
Oh, Real Steel.
That was a great movie. Great movie. I love that. Yeah. And then he turns around and does this robot movie.
And
did this.
And I understand why. I mean, you know, Sigourney Weaver's in it too. It's a cameo at best. She's barely in the film. But I think, you know, obviously the power of District 9 has not dissipated. District 9 is one of the great sci-fi movies the last 10 years.
Well, let me talk about that really quick.
Okay.
Why is, and it's, all of you guys can answer this. Why do you think Neil Blomkamp, who started with District 9, which is an amazing piece of filmmaking, it seems to be he's regressing? Is that do I have that? There's this overarching in my mind that his films keep regressing. Elysium wasn't as good as District 9. Ironically enough, Chappie's not as good as Elysium. What is it? What is he missing here? What's the magic?
Aliens. He's missing aliens.
Could be.
I think
it's a good point.
It's the pressure.
He should make E.T.
He's making Alien. You're right. This could be his comeback.
Yeah. I hope so. I think it's the pressure, honestly. I mean, District 9 set the bar very high. It was a fairly low budget movie. It got all this buzz coming out of Comic-Con, but really it was like this little film. I don't think anybody expected it to deliver, let alone be one of the best films of the year, which it is.
Right.
So I suspect, you know, he's overreaching, and that happens.
Right. You know? So we need somebody to rein him in.
And it helps that there is an established mythology, there are established expectations, but also there have been lowered expectations because of what's been happening to the Alien franchise over the year. Not counting Prometheus, which I love, but I mean, let's face it, the EVP movies.
Sucked.
It's and his vision for a new Alien
movie. Let's put it mildly.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I didn't like Prometheus.
Okay.
What? Really?
Really.
Wow. I'm surprised. I was
disappointed. Like, I had lots of hopes. I was like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm like, oh no. That was my whole movie.
I was surprised. I was kind of like you, but I was surprised more at the fact that I enjoyed it as much as I did because it didn't have, I thought it was going to be another Alien movie.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was something very different. And I was very surprised that they went in that direction. Maybe I admire the fact that they went in that direction. I think I did like it more than you for sure.
I think it's a thoughtful film. Why didn't you like it?
I think because I was led to believe that it was going to go in a certain... It was supposed to be an Alien movie. Was
the
what
origin
I,
of the aliens
right.
or whatever, right? Yeah.
And I guess...
It was, though. It was. You know, at the very end of the film, that's the baby version of what's eventually going to...
For some reason, there was something about that film that... I don't know.
Really? You don't know? You just... do you think it was the story? Was it the way it was told, or...?
I just didn't enjoy it.
Interesting. I'm very surprised.
There are just some things, like, some people just don't like chocolate.
Mm. And you're like,
because those people are
stupid. Right?
First of all, they're stupid.
Yeah, like.
Yeah. Those are the people that I wish that Iran would take away and behead. Were those guys. People that don't like chocolate.
Wow.
Just, yeah, done. Hang them all. Don't like chocolate's ridiculous.
But yeah, it came down to that. It has nothing to do.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That was a joke, by the way. Just
this episode is sponsored by Nestle.
That's right.
And Liberty Mutual.
All right. So, anything else anybody want to talk about before we move on? Movie? Any other movies that they want to really talk about that they
I
watch?
I saw Once Upon a Time in Shanghai.
Holy crap!
It was actually really, really well done. I don't know the specifics, like, you know, director names, and I can't pronounce half the cast names.
You don't speak Chinese?
A little bit.
You look like you speak Chinese.
Oh, do I? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Shay Shay.
Very good. So what? I've heard a lot about it. What makes it so good? Is the story pretty coherent and the action, I'm assuming, is awesome?
It's what you would expect from a Once Upon a Time movie. You know, someone...
Once Upon a Time in China.
Right. So someone who is a hard worker, moves to the big city.
Right.
You know, find his fortune and ends up becoming corrupted by the system in place. It's very artistic.
Cool.
The entire movie is done in black and white with, like, color Like certain things are in color.
Cool.
Wow.
So it's very
kind of like
well
kind of like Rumblefish-ish.
Yeah. Or yeah.
Or Sin City. Or
yeah. Something similar to that.
Cool.
But yeah, it's plot wise probably not the best. Like it's pretty predictable. You can tell where the story's going to go, where it's going to head up, where it's going to end up. But I mean, it's all about the fight sequences in this movie, and this one delivers in spades. All
right. Sweet. So Once Upon a Time in Shanghai.
Yes.
It is available now, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I watched it on Netflix in 480i, so... so I can imagine that in you know, on Blu-ray or high def, that thing must be spectacular.
Alright, so, man, how but, many?
Danny Ong's on it, Philip Ng, Sammo Hung. Mm. There's a lot of well-known,
fight choreographers,
that are in this movie.
Sweet!
And you can definitely tell that these guys grew up with martial arts. It's not actors that were trained in martial arts. Yeah. These guys actually know what they're doing. The fluidity of the fights from punch to kick to dodge to just everything is really remarkable.
Crazy. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look that up on Netflix. Don't let me forget that. I think the only thing that I watched this week the only thing of note was Exodus Gods and Kings. I won't talk about it. I'll save that for my review that I'm going to be putting up on the Nerd Watch. Overall, I was very disappointed. I think it's really Scott's worst movie ever. I'm
really?
Very, very...
Worse than a good year?
Ooh, yeah. Oh, that was pretty bad. You're right. That's another Russell Crowe... That was a Russell Crowe bomb.
Well, I taught a Ridley Scott class a few years ago, and that was the one. My students were like, ooh, no, never again.
Oh, you can put Exodus on there. It's,
no.
It's bad. I only say this because I think the criticisms I have of it... I separate my faith from the movie, sure. And looking at it as a movie, it's just not... There's nothing compelling about the characters or the story they're portraying. No one ever seems invested in what they're doing. I don't believe that this Moses is the guy that's going to take the Jews out of Egypt. I don't believe it at all. Mm. And what they're asking me to accept is more fantastical fiction than the Bible itself. So... That was tough. So I'll have more on my review. Like I said, First of Barry's read it. It's more of a diatribe, but you know, it's a review nonetheless. So Exodus Gods and Kings, I say avoid it. Okay? So
avoid it like the plague.
You liked it?
I liked it.
Oh, here we go. Maybe we should talk about it.
Well, because you share a table with God and I share the floor with Buddha. So I approached Exodus from Buddha's perspective.
Right. But I mean, I'm not even talking about faith-wise. I'm talking just story-wise.
But you know, our culture is so ingrained in us that even though we try to be objective, mm-hmm. it's intrinsic in how we perceive the external world.
Mm.
So for you to say that it's more difficult for you to believe
absolutely
than what the Bible says...
I would say it's easy.
I respectfully disagree.
I would have to say that I would believe in the fact that I would say that it's easier for me to believe that God said than what came up in the film.
Exactly,
it's so ridiculous.
Because it's so ingrained in your culture, in your upbringing. I didn't grow up Christian.
Sure.
I grew up Buddhist. So for me, it's more unbelievable that some voice in the sky told Moses, oh, I'm going to part the ocean for you, so just lead all your people through. I'd be like, really, dude?
I believe it was a burning bush.
Yeah.
Not a voice in the sky.
Even better, a burning bush.
But I thought that the performances were underwhelming. I thought Christian Bale wasn't compelling as a character. He just felt, it was just like, oh, well.
Do you feel that it's possible that knowing this going into the movie, it may have tainted your perspective somewhat?
No, I mean, not even looking at that, but somebody, let's take the most famous, example. When you look at Ten Commandments, and you look at when Charlton Heston comes to the Pharaoh in the palace, and he's there, and he resoundingly says, "Let my people go." You really are behind him. In this one, in this one, Christian Bale doesn't seem to be. He seems to be more of the guy that goes, "Well, this is what I believe God said He wants me to do, and you must do it, and that's it." And then we don't even get any reaction from the Pharaoh, from Ramses. There's nothing. There's no.
There does he use the Batman voice?
No,
because that might have helped.
He does. He does in one scene. He does do it in one scene.
Are you serious?
But wow. See, for me, as a non-Christian, mm-hmm. it's more believable that when somebody approaches somebody with a faith and right. say, "My God said this," it would come across as like kind of hokey. And when you're an intelligent person and you know you're bringing up
sure.
this comment, your voice is going to waver. You're not going to be like, "Let my people go." It's more like, you know, there is doubt. There is sure. to me, it's more realistic.
You would have, but in order to convince somebody and to convince the 400,000 people that he's asking to free, you really have to believe in the man who's giving the word that's supposedly from God.
But this movie is making an attempt to avoid.
I know.
Faith.
I know.
But to me, it's more realistic in my world. If somebody comes to a king and sure. says, "You know, this is what I hear, this is what I'm being told, and I believe it, and I don't have proof to show you."
Sure.
Yeah, you're gonna sense that. You're gonna feel that emotion in the room.
Is that the angle of this movie?
Right.
It's,
right.
It's, yeah. it's trying to remove religion.
Right. God so what? No. So what Professor Barry had said before, he's what they're doing is they're turning Moses into almost like a madman. So he gets there's a rock. He's going after some sheep, and there's a rock slide while it's raining, and he gets hit in the head, and then he sees the vision of God.
Huh.
So it's an interesting concept, but the whole point is that even if you're nuts,
uh-huh.
even if he was crazy, if he was manic or what have you, you would still be behind that 100%. So even if I was nuts in my head, I believe it. So therefore, I would want to portray the fact that whoever I'm going to tell, they're going to have to believe it too.
But see, you're imposing what you think a Moses personality should be like.
No, I'm talking about a guy who's a madman on the side
right,
of the street.
See, you're imposing yeah, what you think
Wailuku.
That
person...
Right, and Wailuku! Right, when the guys are yelling at you and they're running down the street going, they're really projecting
see,
their anger.
Like I'm saying, you're imposing what you think that personality should be like. Kind of like you think what a leader should possess qualities, whereas that's not what is
no,
being
but not
portrayed.
Even a,
like,
but,
you can't accept...
But not even a leader, though.
Not all leaders
just
or somebody who has faith, but
right.
they do have doubt.
No. No, that's not a problem. Moses had doubt. The Bible specifically says he does,
but because you're so ingrained in you that you have it preset in your mind how it should be. Like, that's why you're constantly saying, you know, if I were... Even though crazy, I would be doing it this way.
No, but even if he was crazy, right? Let's take out the Bible. Let's take this out as it's just a story. If I'm saying that even the crazy guy that's on the side of the street believes in his own lie, that's what I'm saying. So even if he was nuts, I'm saying the performance doesn't seem like he believes in what he's saying. That's what I'm having an issue with. Not so much of the message. I'm having the problem with even if Moses was crazy. It doesn't seem like he seems like he believes it.
So you're saying it was bad acting?
That's what I'm talking. I'm not talking about the message. I'm talking about the acting itself. Like it's like he's not a believer. He doesn't come off as a guy who wants you to believe.
Okay, so you have a problem with Christian Bale's acting.
Yes, that's what I said. I thought it was
I've
horrible.
Said that
no,
for years.
Well, because I have no problem with the entire movie.
Right.
I like the entire movie.
Right.
I didn't focus so much on the individual acting. I actually enjoy the movie. I like the movie as a whole. I like the perspective it offered.
Yeah, I don't think that's my thing. I felt that Joel Edgerton, they didn't work together well. Their chemistry didn't feel good to me. That was my problem with the movie. And every time it's like they would have to instead of focusing on them two as good actors, it seemed like they would have to, whenever Moses would come to Ramses, Ramses' reaction, instead of him reacting, they would cut to the scene of him hanging more of the slaves, I was like, okay, get it. Like, he did that once. And then they went to it again, and I was like, okay, so instead of him projecting a good acting against Christian Bale and telling him, or Moses, and telling him he's nuts, or get out of my palace, or whatever, instead, this is how he's going to react to it, instead of engaging Moses. You know what I mean? That's my problem. Right. Huh. So you just hang. He's right. They went to the well on that twice, and I was like, I already got it the first time that that's what you're gonna do. Right. It just didn't seem like there was any chemistry between the two. You know, there wasn't like this tension in between them. I think the only time I ever saw that was at the very last plague, when the death of the firstborn happened, and that was it. And then Joel Edgerton and Moses kind of came together, and Joel Edgerton started to perform a little bit better. And he had that baby in his hand, and you could really feel something. But then, by that time, you just didn't care at that point, or at least I didn't. So, I don't know. I'm not even looking at it as a biblical film, because it's far from. So that doesn't bother me. I can separate my faith. I just didn't like the performances. I just thought they were eh. That was my problem with the movie. So, I don't know. What do you think, Amber? I'm telling you, it's not. She thinks it's my faith that is making me not like
this. Well, let's be honest for a second. I mean, obviously. I mean, we've never made it a mystery that, you know, we're people of faith or different faiths at this table. Yes. So inevitably, of course, that's going to affect how we see this film. On the other hand, I do agree with you about this film. I certainly like this movie more than you did, but I agree with you. I think there's a problem when the lead protagonist, it's one thing if he believes in God, it's one thing if he doesn't believe in God, it's one thing if he thinks he's believing in God even though he's a madman. I agree with you. I couldn't imagine following this guy into the desert.
I
really think Bale's performance is excellent. I really love his performance in the movie, but I got to agree with you. He comes across more like an intriguing loon than somebody who is a leader.
Right.
And I couldn't go with that either. And you know, it's funny because I agree with you in the far-fetched aspect of it. I do find it hard to believe that a guy would get over to the Red Sea, be completely stuck, and going, oh, now what are we going to do? And then coincidentally, at that very perfect moment, a comet lands into the Red Sea, parting it perfectly. It's like the god of coincidence saves his life.
Right.
You know. So I think the movie has a lot of problems, but I like it more than you do. But all that to say, I agree with you. I think I think there are aspects of this movie that are far-fetched, regardless if you're someone of faith or someone who's an atheist.
Right.
Or and Buddhist.
Like I said, taking or Buddhist.
Buddhist
I
was is brought a culture. Up Autobot, so. In my culture.
Yes.
Not my religion.
Sorry.
Well, like I said, I had an issue with the acting, not the movie itself.
So you love the movie but hated the actors.
Oh, I hated the movie and I hated the acting.
Right. Because of faith.
Right. Because of my faith. I can separate the two. I still say to this day, if you're going to watch a movie that stars Moses in it, watch The Ten Commandments. I think that's a much... Or The Prince of Egypt.
Prince of Egypt is awesome.
That's another good one.
I think I actually prefer that one to The Ten Commandments. Well, shorter.
Much shorter.
Much shorter.
It portrays a lot in the 90 minutes it's on, as opposed to the 3 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is the Aaron Paul. 3 hours.
The animated one? Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah.
That's the one
it's on Netflix.
Yeah,
you can watch it in 480.
Prince of Egypt.
I think I see it in the queue and I skip over it. It's
it's the one with Steve Martin, and Steve Martin does the voice, or Val Kilmer and Ralph Fiennes.
Sandra Bullock is in it as well.
Jeff Goldblum's in it. And then Steve Martin and Martin Short have a cameo as a pair together. They're very cool. Huh. So yeah, it's actually a pretty cool flick.
Yeah, it's an amazing cool film.
Anyway.
I watch it every Easter.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Good. That is awesome.
Now, do you like Little Buddha with Keanu Reeves? I'm just curious.
No.
I hate that movie.
I don't hate it.
I hate that movie.
But I see it once. It's one of those movies I don't watch more than once.
You didn't buy Keanu Reeves as Siddhartha? Because I didn't. and I'm a Keanu Reeves fan, but
I'm not a Keanu Reeves fan.
Yep.
I don't even pretend to be, but I don't hate him. I think
he's a local boy. We can't hate Keanu Reeves.
Come on, Keanu Reeves. Yeah. It's like in our DNA.
We can't hate Keanu. We can't hate Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't hate him. No. Even though he was born in California, I think, and moved to Florida and came out to Hawaii once in a while, went to McKinley High. Yeah, you know, he's kind of from here, sort of, whatever.
He has a tattoo.
He's got a tattoo. He's got something. You know, he's Polynesian, so, you know, we have to accept him, you know, that's whatever. Right.
Yeah, that whole Polynesian angle, oh my goodness.
That is
like, every time there's a family reunion, reunion or something. It's like, oh, yeah, did you know you're related to The Rock? And I was like, I don't really care. I was like, I don't see him. Where is he? He's not here at the family reunion.
Of being related to the Tooth Fairy?
If I was related to the Tooth Fairy, that would be awesome.
Well, we'll see your.
A good movie.
Yeah, we'll see your relative rescue.
We'll agree to disagree on that.
We'll see your relative rescue California in San Andreas this summer.
Yeah,
be cool.
He's going that, to. That was. So...
I can't wait.
No, the trailer completely threw me off.
Oh, I can't wait! I love those horrible disaster movies, and it looks like a very cool disaster movie.
Well, as a gamer. When I saw San Andreas, I was thinking
right, I know what you're
Grand
thinking,
Theft Auto.
Yeah.
I was like, for the groove. And then he's in a helicopter.
He was playing was like, CJ.
What is going on?
Yeah. Oh, it's an earthquake movie. Ah, crap.
I was like, oh, The Fault.
Yes,
got
The
it.
Fault. That's right. Yeah,
okay,
the
makes
Fault.
Sense.
All right, moving on to some one piece of news that I want to get to because I want everybody's impressions on this. There has been, everyone knows that we talked about this earlier, there's officially a Ghostbusters movie that is being made as we speak, directed by Paul Feig and starring Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, and a couple other guys from SNL. Now, I posted on nerdwatch.com just a few days ago that it's officially, they're officially making a Ghostbusters universe that is going to talk about, that's going to be an all-male cast starring... I can't...
People.
Well, Channing Tatum is one of the names that is being touted.
Take it off!
Yeah. He's going to be stripping from his Ghostbusters uniform. But Channing Tatum, there's going to be an all-male casted Ghostbusters movie. The idea of this, by the way, is that they will now have a shared universe like the Marvel Universe. Is this... Are we jumping the shark
with
this?
Are they just doing this because of all the...
Apparently, according to Dan Aykroyd, in the article of the interview that he had, he said that this is what he wanted to do all along. I don't know if that's true. The one man who could probably verify this is dead.
Right.
So, I don't know. And if it is, great. But, by the way, I'm talking about Egon Spengler.
Harold Ramis.
Right. What's his name?
Harold.
No, I'm just kidding.
Egon Spengler.
So anyway, I love Harold Ramis. One of my favorite movies of all time, National Lampoon's Vacation. Love Harold Ramis. So I don't know. The one guy that can verify this is Harold Ramis. Now, I think, I don't know if this is a good thing. I mean, we could talk about things in the shared universe like Slimer. We could talk about Dan Aykroyd's, Ray Stantz's occult bookshop. We could bring in Tobin's spirit guide, and we can talk about all of these things, which would be kind of cool. But do you think we need more than one Ghostbuster crew? What's everybody's take on this? Is this a cool thing? I don't know. I'm kind
ghosts,
of open
the ghosts don't just hang out in Manhattan.
All right, you got me there. Moving on. So, good idea. No. Do you think it's going to work?
My personal take is that, honestly, my favorite thing about these movies has never been Ghost of the Garzarian and Viggo the Carpathian and Tobin's spirit guide. For me, it's,
do you know
it's
that Viggo is the Scourge of Carpathia? You do know that, right?
Yes.
That he is.
He's like, I love these movies as much as anybody, but for me, like, it's never been about the mythology. It's always been about the crew, about the people, and the wonderful contrast of someone like Peter Venkman contrasted with that scary-ass librarian ghost. I love the attitude of Ghostbusters. I've always loved, these down-to-earth, but at the same time,
so
too hip for the room guys. And these are the guys who, you know, the plumber, the janitors of God taking on the supernatural. I've always found that to be what works and what's appealing about these
movies. The chemistry.
Yes, the heart, not necessarily Viggo and the River of Slime. So
Good point.
I think the priority might be a little wrong in trying to create like this big overall, you know, like trying to create like a Marvel universe out of Ghostbusters. They should, first of all, just try to create a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
They do that. They don't have to worry about the universe
because that'll come.
Yes,
interesting.
The material's there.
What about you, Amber? Are you a Ghostbusters fan?
I love my Ghostbuster cartoons.
Nice.
Yes. I grew up with Slimer. So
I wonder if they'll fit that in. Speaking
they
of,
need yeah. to, because in the movie, right, he wasn't as a constant one of their buddies who tried to help him. It was different.
Sure.
But
it was the first bus.
Just do a good movie, mm-hmm. and then do another good movie, and then do another good movie, and then by default, you have a universe. That's all I'm saying.
Good point. Good point. What about you? What say you, format?
Well, for me, I agree. As far as the movies are concerned, it's never been about the lore. It's always been about
The team
and the way they interact with, you know, those that interact with them.
Sure.
But as someone that grew up with the cartoon was more about the lore than the team.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yes,
so,
it was.
So for me, lore is a pretty big deal. But I just don't know how they're going to, you know what I mean? Because when you're watching the cartoon and a half an hour episode, they fit so much into this. And then now we're going to get like a 2-hour movie and they're going to try to cram the scene. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, cartoon's different because you know you're going to get... the story's going to carry on next week next week, and it's half an hour, whereas this is a movie. So, okay, when's the next part come in?
My ultimate question is, is it too late? That's my question. And I say that in the fact that you and I, all four of us actually, grew up with this, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, now the last time we got a Ghostbusters movie was in 1989.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, we're talking, does anybody care at this point other than us? That's what I'm wondering. I just don't know if it's going to work.
No.
I mean, even if you put Channing Tatum in it, and even if you get the younger audience in, are they willing to buy the whole hysterics that come along with busting ghosts? You know what I mean? There's a whole different tack to ghosts now. It's not funny anymore. Everything's always about the raw horror of ghosts and how they mm-hmm. really haunt you and things like that. I'm just wondering if that's going to work. I don't know if the comedic side is going to work now, especially in the day and age we live in.
They would. It would. Like the cartoon, if they brought the cartoon back, it would work. And it would appeal to the young generation again. Because that's comedy doesn't just die. Like it does. It's just a certain age. So if they want to bring it back, start with the cartoon. Get the kids into it and then throw out the movie.
That's an interesting idea. You could actually do that.
Or or appeal to our generation, put the movie out, and then pull the younger generation in. Because our generation is still have that, you know, good feeling memory. We would go to a movie.
Oh yeah, I remember complete episodes.
Yeah. So
like,
do I.
Just
no.
Locked in
Let's say they did release a good movie. Would you go and see it just because of because it's an ode to a Ghostbuster movie?
Me personally, I would say yes.
Yeah, I would.
Because it's. That's just
because it's Ghostbusters.
Well, that's what I want to know. I'm wondering if there's enough people us that would support
it. Am I going because it's Channing Tatum?
No. Right. I wouldn't go.
I'm going because it's Ghostbusters.
Right. Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So they do have a shot with us. Sure. And they do have a shot with the new generation. It's just a matter of go do it. Don't spend all your time planning it, and then we're going to get bored of the planning stages.
Right, and I think the fact of the matter is you're right about that, because it hasn't been planned for a long time. It's the fact that they've been holding out for Bill, and Bill was the only holdout, and now I think they're just done with waiting. And I think that's essentially what's happening.
Then just do it.
And now they are. Dan Aykroyd's moving on with, I guess, Ivan Reitman and one of his other co-writers, and they're just putting something together. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, the one that Paul Feig is doing as well with the girls in it, I think it'll be interesting. I just don't. I'm nervous. I'm nervous. This could tank what could possibly or what is probably one of the best franchises in movie history.
I wonder if Aykroyd wouldn't have taken these steps if there wasn't such like a lashing out at the Paul Feig version.
That's a good point.
Once there was an all-female thing,
I never thought about that.
Everyone blew up and was like, no, this is going to fail. This is terrible. You know, Bridesmaids with proton packs.
I want to see Bryce Mays with Proton Packs.
But you do make a good point, because now
that... And then all of a sudden, Dan Aykroyd's like, well, we have this thing in the pipeline that we were...
Yeah. So not only have you started murmurs of an actual Ghostbusters movie, but you're possibly rescuing the one that everybody's not going to like, because now you said you're creating a shared universe.
That's a good point.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. A lot of interesting hypotheses here on the Nerdwatch podcast today. Very cool. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm definitely trepidatious about what it is, because I'm afraid. I'm just afraid it's too little, too late at this point. So hopefully it's good.
I just release it this summer. We'll watch it.
I want to know what the big bad is.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because it's going to have to be something.
It's going to have to be huge. Yeah. It's going to be. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's going to have to be huge. So, man. I hope it does well. Well, we'll get more reports on that when they come flying in. Speaking of that, by the way, a couple of quick notes here. Can you believe that we are, two short weeks away from the first movie of the summer?
Wow.
Oh, already?
Yeah.
So what's the first movie of the summer?
How dare you? Your cousin is in it. Or your relative is in it. Yes, yes.
Jesus.
No, Jesus isn't in it. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in it. And it's called Furious 7. We are 2 weeks away from summer. Can anybody believe that?
Rocket-propelled car jumps.
Yes, right. I can't even fathom the fact that we have just barely gotten out of 2014.
Seven already?
Yeah.
It's on to seven?
Yeah. Can I tell you something? I'm going to tell you something really quick. These movies get better with every installment.
I mean,
it's not about racing anymore.
It's not.
I know. Isn't it the same though? You just put a different number in the end.
No, not really.
A little more to it.
I mean, one time they went to Tokyo.
Oh.
Yeah. One time they went to Brazil.
You know the Tokyo one. Brazil. Mater's version of.
Aren't you supposed to like this by default? Just, you know, not to...
Why?
I'm just saying. I'm just...
Not to play the race car with you.
Because I race the Subaru WRX.
See? You're supposed to like this stuff by default, for crying out loud. Plus, it's in your blood. Your blood, sister. I'm telling you right now. We're gonna... Listen.
I have roll bars in the back of my Civic. I have nitrous shooting in.
We're all going to have to make a plan to go see this movie together.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is going to be the one that we all have to see together.
It's an event film. It's probably going to have it's got to be the biggest opening of the summer. Other than maybe Age of Ultron, it's probably going to be the biggest opening of the year. Other than, of course, The Force Awakens.
Yes, The Force Awakens this December 2015.
But they're pushing this like it's going to be the last. So, right. I mean, it's going to be huge. Absolutely huge.
Well, we're all going to have to sit down.
Are you going to come dressed up?
I'm not. What? I'm going to dress up as The Rock? I'd be a total disappointment is what I'd be.
You can show up as a car.
That's right. I could show up as the grease spot underneath the car. Everybody would love that.
Nice.
But
I'm going to come as The Rock.
I'd be a total disappointment. But I really think we should all watch that together, by the way. I just thought I'd bring that up.
Because it's an excellent idea.
I think it's the very first movie of the summer happening in April. Go figure. Let's make it so. We'll make some plans and we'll do it. Are you in, Amber?
Yes.
All right.
A live tweet.
All right, you have to. All right, so what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to catch up. You're going to have to watch all of them. You're going to have to watch them.
Six movies.
I'm going to have to tape my eyelids open.
The F&F marathon.
Yeah.
F&F marathon. That is so awesome.
They're by an inch from mine. I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
You like golf? This ain't golf.
This ain't golf.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, it's almost time for us to get out of here. I want to let you guys know, first off, that you can check out some interesting releases on our Nerdwatch Facebook page, facebook.com/nerdwatch. Amber has put up some stuff on there that you need to see, or not, because you've seen it too many times. There's stuff up there.
Ta-da! Ta-da!
So you can see those. Check that out at facebook.com/thenerdwatch. You can see all the releases that are coming out. There is going to be a big release I do want to talk about coming. I think it's in 2 weeks. Interstellar's coming out. It just hit video on demand. We'll talk about that later. I'm going to try and watch that on video on demand this week sometime. I'm going to try and fit that in if I can. So that's my plan. Oh, by the way, did anybody see the Nerdwatch Facebook page article that I posted about the unaltered Star Wars trilogy coming out on Blu-ray?
Wow.
Disney's going to release it?
It is about time.
Yeah. Wow. I'm in shock.
I'm buying it.
DVD release, speaking of Blu-ray releases, I'm in shock.
If they release it, I am buying it hard copy, not digital, because in case they yank it.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
I will have me my cup.
They just might. Our good friends at Maui Comics and Collectibles has the VHS set that they're holding on to dear life for.
That's right.
Or, nice. You know, so
in case the bomb drops, good. We have one of those.
We have a copy
and
of the original unaltered.
Two VHS players.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's safe.
We've got it. Well, that's. I'm very cool. I'm very excited to hear about that for sure.
Now the Star Wars Holiday Special, when that's on Blu-ray.
That's a cause for celebration.
That's when I get really excited.
I think you're absolutely right, sir. They must release that.
I'll be celebrating
soon.
Life Day with all the Wookiees. It'll be a beautiful thing.
Celebrate the light. Yep.
Wow. Man, I can't wait to hear the original Ewok song from Return of the Jedi again. Cannot wait.
It's a thing of beauty.
Cannot wait. All right.
I want to hear you re-sing it. I love your singing prowess.
You have, I guess you got a
good
singing.
You're the one.
Mr. Worst.
BW. The one single solo.
Wow.
You know what I want for the new Ghostbusters movie? I want Bobby Brown to come back.
Ooh!
He will.
Too hot to handle, too cool to hold. Call the Ghostbusters in control.
Yes!
Trying to mess with my boys? That ain't legal.
Wow, that's it. That's it. We've taken this full circle. Full circle now. That's crazy. I think Bobby Brown would be perfect.
And he needs some work, so.
And he does need some work, for sure.
And his daughter, Bobby, needs a job, too.
She does. Is she actually
Maybe they could be busters.
They could be busters.
He could graduate from Usher to a Ghostbuster.
Right.
Because he was a doorman, right?
He was.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Hey, Ghostbusters. That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
Is daughter still alive? Not to bring it down the bed.
She's married.
She made it through, right? I mean,
she's married.
I thought she was still in a coma.
I thought she was still in a coma too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Isn't she? I thought she was.
Oh, maybe
she
got married in a coma. I was watching Oprah.
All right, listen. This isn't a reality TV show broadcast. I guess we're gonna have to. All right, listen. Anything anybody watching on TV, by the way?
Bates Motel.
You watch anything anybody should watch? The Flash to come back. I'm taking
Flash to come back in Gotham.
Okay, I'm waiting for Gotham as well. Cannot wait. Myself, I am watching Walking Dead, of course, which is really cool. I watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like I was telling you guys about, trying to catch up on some fun stuff. I watched The King of the Nerds finale, which is really cool. And what is your...
Ta-da!
Is that your Netflix pick of the week?
Pick of the month?
I paid $14.99 to Vudu so I can own it.
Wow.
Because it's ta-da! Every waking moment. We went from a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom down to a 1-bedroom, 1-bathroom, and we all share one TV. Oh,
so boy. Amber's Voodoo View of the Week.
Ta-da!
Despicable Me Too. Fantastic. That is so awesome. Well, anyway, folks, you know, I think we've come to the end of our wonderful, wonderful show for the day. We caught up with a lot of stuff. I really, really had fun talking about what everybody's been doing as of late. I'm going to be playing some video games. We got a new video game that came out today, Battlefield Hardline, which two of the four of us don't care about. I'll be talking a little bit more about that later on. Yes, sir.
Did you see the trailer for Pixel?
That's
out?
Okay, here's the thing.
Yes, it's out.
The actual trailer, not the teaser.
It's actually out.
The trailer.
I posted the teaser of the trailer.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's an actual trailer
now?
Yes,
it went live this morning.
It looks good? Shut the front door. Good. All right.
It looks Barry like a hates lot that. Of fun.
Professor Barry hates that. All right.
It looks like a lot of fun.
Okay, Pixels with Adam Sandler, Peter Dinklage. I have to tell you, I am very excited for this. If no one has ever seen the video or the mini movie that it's based on, I believe it's still on YouTube.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And that was very impressive. I guess Adam Sandler and Disney have taken this idea and magnified it by 10,000. And Pixels looks amazing for any video game freak. Or any 80s video game fan, for crying out loud. I will be posting that as soon as I get home. I didn't even know that was available. Yeah. Pixels. I got the teaser, the trailer on there now. We'll take a look at that more. Anyway, folks, you know, we got more stuff next week. We're in a bit of a transition here at the Nerdwatch podcast, but no worries. We're going to try and keep this as consistent as possible. Like I said, this last 2 weeks, rain and leaky roofs and wind has torn us all apart, and now we're back together.
The Nerdwatch
crew is living together in mass hysteria here on the island of Maui.
It needs to be the fade-out music.
It does, it does.
Well, I guess we're going to have to take...
You should
cut me off anytime.
No, I'm not cutting you off because that's good.
I love it.
That's good. Listen, you can hit us up at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You can hit us up on Twitter at NerdWatchNation. You can actually reach all four of us on NerdWatch at our facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. Professor Barry has his movie reviews up there. The one and only Amber has her latest in DVDs and Blu-rays and her Netflix picks are on there. She picked Bosch last week from Amazon Prime, which is a really cool show. Also, Format has been putting up some fun things about games, but not only that, he has his Earworm of the Week, I believe, still going on, or is it of the day?
No,
still,
of the week.
Of the week, right? Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
I want to run out of stuff.
Very cool segment. You should check it out on the NerdWatch Facebook page. It's a lot of fun. You can reach any of us there. So for the latest in what we've got in our reviews or movies or what we watch, we're going to be doing that. I'm learning, by the way. I'm learning more about social media, or at least I'm trying to. I'm trying to try and be more active because I'm such an old man. I love being nerdy, but I don't understand the whole social media thing. I don't like... This is gonna sound really weird. I don't like exposing myself to the public.
That's good.
Don't expose yourself.
You're here. Yeah.
I'm learning. Yeah, I'm glad you seconded and third that motion. I'm learning how to share without being an obtuse jackass. Trying at least. I'm trying. I'm working on it. You may need to help me in this. I don't know how to do it without being an idiot.
You know, your first step is to start a Farmville game and then start treating animals.
Oh no!
And then you'll totally get the whole social aspect.
I will. Okay. Oh man.
Or Candy Crush.
I'm afraid. I am so afraid. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we shall be back. We'll be talking more about what's the latest in movies. I always consider the Nerdwatch podcast as a week in review. What everybody's done, what the news of the week was, and we're coming together to talk about what we thought was cool for the week. So. We got that coming up next week. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. We will be back next week. I, of course, am G-Money. I am joined by Format. Professor Barry, you can check out all his reviews on MauiWatch.com, as well as our reviews as well on MauiWatch.com. And if you're just trolling the internet and you happen to be on Rotten Tomatoes, you can also catch Professor Barry's reviews on Rotten Tomatoes as well. He affects the tomato meter. He's the one that gave a bad score to Kingsman. He's the reason why it dropped. Him.
You.
It's him, boys and girls. It is him.
Oh, no. Now it's 99% instead of 100%.
Oh, no. Yeah. Save all your vitriol. RottenTomatoes.com/Barry Worst. Just check it out over there. And, of course, Amber, our wonderful... AKA Digit, our wonderful week in review video woman, Netflix pick of the week, and now our voodoo view of the week for her. And Amazon as well.
And Hulu.
She's got it on every single format possible.
I think that is the name
Amazon, of Hulu, Voodoo.
I swear to God, if I name the podcast or the title of the podcast is Ta-da. Anyway, have a wonderful week, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you next time. And in the lovely words of the island, we bid you adieu. Aloha!